From Wisco Weekly, this is Upward Social Mobility, a mini-series on American life during COVID and a hot political climate. November 2020, it's election season in the United States. Over 100 million Americans are casting their vote. That's a third of the U.S. population. Many are struggling with their value system and how that orients them in relation to living in this country. Should they aim to be rich? Should they aim to be happy? Should they go woke or broke? Or is America just a means to an end, and the end being a final destination out of the United States? Let me briefly introduce to you the guests who will be featured in this mini-series. Sam Blake is a male reporter in his 30s who moved from Detroit to Los Angeles. Maria Frost, a mother in her 30s based near Seattle, whose parents immigrated to the U.S. from the Soviet Union. Chris Cargill, a father in his early 40s from the state of Washington also. And lastly, Scott Hadzik, a department chair from Weber State University's Automotive Tech Program. Collectively, these individuals represent a thought model on what we're experiencing with life during COVID. At times, you may hear them impart empathy, and other times, they may impart wisdom and sacrifice. At the end of this four-part series, you will be ready to go onward and upward. Part 3. A sixth-generation Eastern Washingtonian, Chris is the Eastern Washington Director at the Washington Policy Center. He graduated from Gonzaga University in Spokane with a Bachelor of Arts in Broadcast Communication Studies and Political Science. Before joining WPC, he worked in television news for 10 years at Fox and ABC affiliates in Spokane. Chris has served on many community boards, including the Spokane Regional Transportation Commission. He is the author of numerous policy studies and is a frequent guest host and commentator on news radio stations throughout the state. Chris's work includes an initiative called Free Markets Destroy, designed to educate the public on how the free market is the best solution for combating issues like climate change, boredom, disease, and hunger. We begin the episode by looking at an article that Chris wrote in the Spokane Journal on August 13th, 2020, that officially launches the initiative Free Markets Destroy. A bold, inspirational, and first-of-its-kind campaign to highlight free markets has hit Washington State billboards, computers, and smartphones, but it might not contain the message you'd expect. Before getting into the logic behind Washington Policy Center's seemingly counterintuitive Free Markets Destroy advertising campaign, here's some background. A 2019 Gallup poll showed Americans don't believe in socialism. During the past few years, however, young adults' overall impression of capitalism and free markets has declined steadily. Most fair-minded Washingtonians have been shocked by the recent events in Seattle, failed city leadership, and a political movement concentrated on turning Seattle into an American socialist experiment are ripping the city apart. What's the weather? What's the climate? What's the temperature in Seattle right now?
It really hasn't changed much. I mean, it's basically still what was happening at the time that I wrote that, where there's still a lot of protests, some violence. The city council and the mayor have been criticized enormously for not taking proper action. I mean, even the most standard action that you would assume just to protect private property and to protect businesses and to protect the people living in the city. The city council and the mayor have not done that. That's one part of it. The other part of it, of course, is the economic piece, which is, you know, somewhat related to that. The Seattle City Council has passed huge new taxes on specific companies, including Amazon. Amazon has said, fine, you're going to do that. We're moving part of our businesses to other parts of the state, including right across the Lake Washington to Bellevue. And so this, when I wrote that, obviously, it was at the height of a lot of this stuff. But I have to tell you, it's still going on, where you have the Seattle City Council, which has an elected socialist member, and the other members who are not necessarily elected socialists certainly act like it, has really done a poor job of protecting not only the image of Seattle, but also the climate that's in Seattle. I mean, Seattle, I used to go there all the time as a kid, and I would gladly take my kids there now if it weren't for the chaos that is on some of the city streets. And the fact that in some areas it's dangerous. There's businesses boarded up. You'll remember just about a month and a half ago, the shortest and smallest country ever in the history of the world, Chaz, opened up, and the Seattle City Council and mayor did nothing about it. They waited an entire month almost to actually go in there and restore order. And several people I know for sure that was one person that lost their life, and there were other reports of crime as well.
Down I-5 in Portland, a similar situation is playing out. Protesters view capitalism as the enemy, and they are intent on ruining the city. Bottom line, we have a real problem in this country. Young generations are warming to the idea of socialism and are skeptical about our free market system. They lay all of the challenges we have as a society at the feet of capitalism. What they want is change and reform. They want to destroy what's broken and replace it with something better. What young people have never heard until now is that it's markets that actually bring about change through a process known as creative destruction, or the process of continual improvement. Is there something else behind the idea of creative destruction in redefining essentially the term destruction?
Well, I think a little bit. I think maybe we might be reading into it a little bit much, but I will say this. You look at some of the greatest innovators that we've had in our country, people like Steve Jobs and Thomas Edison, and all these people have created all these different things that we use as a society. I think they would be the first ones to tell you that creative destruction was a critical component to what they do. We have shirts right now that have three words on them. The message that says destroy, create, repeat. So, I mean, that's what we're talking about here when we talk about what the free market can do. As a person, let's say you owned Blockbuster Video, for example, you might be a little bit nervous.
Back in the 80s and 90s, though, right? That's when I owned it. I don't want to own it now.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, there is one Blockbuster left open. It's up in Alaska. They had something like 2,000 stores in the 90s. Now they have one. Why is that? Well, because the marketplace came in, destroyed Blockbuster, and what did it replace it with?
Netflix.
Hulu.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah. All of these different things that made it easier and better for us to get the TV shows, the movies, all the different things that we need. So I think in that respect, that's what we're talking about when we say creative destruction.
Free markets tear down what's broken. They take on companies and institutions that are no longer serving people. That's why Washington Policy Center this month is launching Free Markets Destroy. Again, this article that Chris wrote was done back at the beginning of August. This marketing campaign will focus on the power of the marketplace to destroy society's worst problems and continually improve our lives. Free markets destroy monopolies. They destroy bigotry. They destroy broken models of education. Free markets destroy pollution, hunger, poverty, and boredom.
Free markets basically can bring us together by breaking down the barriers that stand in our way. They are a force for revolution, as we've just talked about. It's the message that young people really have never heard before. They've always heard capitalism is great, red, white, and blue. If you want to love America, you need to love money and capitalism. But they've never heard a message in this way, and the way we're delivering it now with Free Markets Destroy. There's been all these different groups like Washington Policy Center and others that have tried to do campaigns like this. I think the trap that they've fallen into is that they've never done it from the perspective of that targeted demographic, the millennials and Gen Zs. We've always unfortunately done it from the perspective, you know, of the 40, 50, 60 year olds who say, well, of course you'd want to believe in the marketplace. Look at all it has done for our country. As I mentioned, those people, the 18 to 34 year olds have not been alive that long. And so they don't know the history of what we've been through in the American experiment.
Consider the fact that more than 100 companies currently are competing to find a vaccine for COVID-19. Meantime, sports have returned, and a Pittsburgh company has designed a solution to clean stadiums via electrostatic drones. Free markets are destroying disease. Meantime, Walmart is partnering with Tribeca to destroy boredom by turning store parking lots into drive-in theaters. Elon Musk got America back into space in 6 years and for less than $1 billion. A government committee claimed it would take more than a decade and cost $26 billion. Free markets are destroying our absence in the final frontier. Now, I think the one thing I want to add to this Walmart and Elon Musk example is these are examples of public-private partnerships. Are you talking about a public-private partnership in this case?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's all sorts of different examples. Obviously, there's the public-private partnership example. There's the completely private example. I mean, there's all sorts of examples that exist. Obviously, Elon Musk, SpaceX, they work with NASA. So, I mean, it's an important point that you make there. But I will say that government committee back in 2011 said it was going to take us so much more and at a cost so much higher. Well, what happened? We got the private industry involved in this. SpaceX saw that there was the opportunity to improve, saw that there was the opportunity to get people in the space. And what else did they see? They saw that there was an opportunity for some revenue as well. And so that helped obviously push that forward in a way that government could never do. I mean, government could not be the mechanism to get you there in that short amount of time with that short amount of money.
The price of a 50-inch 4K HD television dropped 80% between 2012 and 2017. Free markets destroy outdated technology. While free markets destroy outdated technology, I think in a similar fashion, you could make an argument that do we really need a 50-inch 4K HD TV, right? And I think that's perhaps one of the social issues that is brewing, and that is us as a society leaning more towards sustainability. We're, again, bypass the 50 and just go to the 75, you know? Or
this TV example is a great example. The cell phone example is another great example. I mean, imagine, and if you're not remembering this, perhaps you're not old enough, back in the 80s and 90s, these cell phones were these large brick things. Sometimes you couldn't even move them out of your car. They were so big. And one of those would cost you thousands and thousands of dollars. Now you can get a brand new cell phone, which contains more power than they had in one of the original Apollo missions, that allows you to have the world at your fingertips. And sometimes, depending on which carrier you go through, sometimes you can get it for free. Now, that is an example of the marketplace continually innovating, continually coming up with new ideas and competing. And that goes back to the TV example. Why do we have the option to get a 50-inch 4K HD TV for 80% lower than it was, you know, 8-10 years ago? Well, because you have 20 different models you can choose from. You don't like Panasonic? You can buy a Mitsubishi. You don't like Mitsubishi? You can buy a Sony, so on and so forth. And that's the great thing, is that it allows the people perhaps in conditions of living that might not be able to afford something like that, now they can afford it. I think America perhaps is the only country in the world where you could get a TV and a cell phone and still be considered living below the poverty line.
Time and time again, we witness the power of the market in our everyday life. Free markets are a revolutionary force for good. It's a message young people have never heard in the way we're going to deliver it. Chris Cargill, 2024.
Well, I think my wife might have something to say. The marketplace in my house might have something a bit to say about that. So, I think it's just kind of put a bow on that. It is everything that we hate as a society. The marketplace can be the mechanism to make it better. Climate change is a big deal to young people. Well, guess what? The Prius and other hybrid vehicles and the electric cars, those didn't come from the government saying, Toyota, Honda, all the other companies, you need to create these cars. They came from the marketplace creating them because they saw an opportunity. The marketplace saw people wanted more fuel efficient vehicles. They put the technology, they put the money in to come up with those fuel efficient vehicles. And then guess what happened? Then government jumped on board and started mandating it. But the companies did it first because they saw that we all wanted it.
More from Chris after this.
For me, the fact that I'm doing it on my own is mostly to show myself and to like show other people like you can do it. And it's not just the living part of it too, but it's the building aspect of it. And I think a lot of women would like to be more adventurous and travel and maybe not think that they can do it without a man to help them or to keep them safe.
Listeners, next month, we are going to be featuring hashtag vanlifers. Van life, it's a new cultural phenomenon that has really picked up a lot of steam over the last decade or so. I will be featuring a few van lifers on Wisco Weekly and in the particular mini-series Upward Social Mobility. These van lifers have chosen a particular path in life, and it's certainly one to admire, to study, and to just be a fly in their van.
Okay, you want to see them?
All right, let's see it.
So this one,
mm-hmm.
This one is wild bergamot, and then there's a honeybee right there. Yeah, I love it. My brother's a tattoo artist. I have three brothers, and he's the oldest one is a tattoo artist. So,
and that's all of the tattoos that you have, and your brother's a tattoo artist? Are you trying to be responsible at 26?
Yes, sort of.
So if you want to hear more about van life, be sure you subscribe to the podcast and follow Wisco Weekly on social media. After reading and commentating on Chris's latest blog featured in the Spokane Journal, it's important to understand some fundamentals about the free market and the role of government. Here, Chris gives a very good explanation of both.
And the best way that I thought about this, that I could illustrate it, is free market is really the all-encompassing theme here. It's the idea of you, Chris, could take your car, go to Craigslist, sell that car yourself, and boom, you've made some money. And look, if you can get your friend to do that, you've made a little bit more money. Capitalism is when you become more organized in your free market and you become now the dealership, in which now the dealership has the capital, they have the resources, they have the backing of the manufacturer, they have staff, and now they have this more as an operation. Would you agree with that assessment between free market and capitalism?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you go to the website, freemarketsdestroy.com, that's the website where we have kind of a bar that explains what exactly is the free market. I think what you laid out is very good. The only thing I might add is that on that page, you know, we have the kind of the three elements of what exactly is a free market. The first part is, you know, don't hurt other people or steal their stuff. Pretty simple explanation there. Second part is you keep your word. Now, free markets are about people reaching agreements with each other on the work that they do, trade, invest, whatever it may be. You keep your word, you do it that way. The third part is that there's no permission required. Basically, you're free to try, you're free to buy, you're free to leave. That is essentially the freedom that you have in a free market. We are not suggesting in any way that the government has to cease to exist. Obviously, government is there to set boundaries. It's essentially like a bowling alley. Government is there to make sure that everybody stays on the alley, doesn't fall into the gutters. Okay, that's fine. But what we are suggesting is that government shouldn't be getting in there and slowing down the balls, you know, saying, okay, since your ball, you know, since you've got a certain area, your ball needs to go slower than all these other balls.
But you know what they are doing to further this illustration of the bowling alley is they are wanting to mandate by default to have the guardrails up so that nobody ever spills in there, which again, there's some cons with that philosophy as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's an excellent point. You know, the gutters have to be there. The gutters have to exist, because a society that depends on free markets, that depends on allowing people to go out, you have to be allowed to fail, because that is the way you come up with something even better.
So how does the message of free markets destroy resonate with you? Does it inspire you to create? To create in order to destroy that which you do not like? Will you adopt this line of thinking so that your kids repeat these steps? Coming up next in part 4 of Upward Social Mobility, the conundrum of free markets. What could this be? Stay tuned to hear from Scott Hadsick, who serves as the department chair of Weber State University's Automotive Technology Program in Utah. His department can be seen as a microcosm to how the future of work plays out. That's in part 4, coming up next. Listeners, if you want to hear the unedited recording with Chris Cargill, then be sure you are subscribed. It'll be released right here on the podcast. Hey, listeners, some people use Patreon and others are crazy and think they can change the world. I do not use Patreon, so I want to give you something else, and I hope that it is more valuable to you than it is to me. Consider signing up for Dedicated Lane. It's a membership program for licensed drivers. To explore and learn more, visit dedicatedlane.com.